Everybody got a name. Andrew, we could go ahead and turn the music down. That'd be good. All right. I would encourage, if you are the other way, just turn your seat around if you need to. Just face this way. That'd be good. But we want around tables because what happens around the table is going to be every bit as important as what happens up. So we want to have interaction and things like that that are going to be taking place. Again, I want to make sure everybody has a name tag. Thanks to Chuck Hudnall, I even have a name tag. Table host, make sure you have a name tag. Or Vicki Hudnall. It is too pretty writing for you, Chuck. That's right. Okay. First of all, I just want to commend each and every one of you for being here today, being on time. I know this is a change for all of us, and change is always a little unsettling. And I just commend you for the way that you have handled it and seem to be eager and ready. And I just trust that not only today, but throughout this semester, we're going to have some really interesting and profitable things to say and discuss with one another. And there are some spaces available, just, you know, if you have see somebody come in. But we wanted the tables to be full, and I'm grateful to see that they are. Just find a seat, Renee. There's one right up here. Oh, that's Bob Bell's? Oh, that's Bob's. Oh, right here, Renee. Oh, you got one there? Okay. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord God, we are so grateful to be able to be here. Thank you for this place, this beautiful day that we have, for each one that's here. Thank you for all the people who have worked so hard to make this day a reality. And Lord, just ask that you would guide our thoughts, our discussion, the opportunity we have to, I trust, think about things that are critical and very, very important. Lord, I just want to pray that you would lead and guide all that happens today. We love you and we thank you. And Lord, for this next semester, we are excited for what you are going to do in us as we focus our attention on some rethinking the church. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, where is Linda Mendenhall? Linda, did you want to stand up and make an announcement? I can't get the microphone back to you, but I know you wanted to make an announcement. Quarter to nine, the sign-up sheet right over there in order to provide refreshments each Sunday. How many did we have today doing it? Four people? About four. Am I cutting in and out on this thing a little bit? All right, thank you. As I said, it'd be good if you could, for a little bit, turn your chairs around and have an opportunity. I'd like the host, if they would, to go ahead and out of your packet, if you haven't done so already, the little program or brochure that we have for today. Heather, there's a spot right over here next to George Reynolds, I think.
and pass those programs around so each person at your table has one. There are also pens at your table. You'll need that in order to sort of keep up if you are the kind of individual that likes to take notes, and it'll help you think today. All right. Yes. Here's right there. Steve has one right there. Okay. One over here. Going once, going twice. All right. We are here today because the Ministry Leadership Council, the MLC, after a meeting for a year or better than a year, really felt led by the Lord to ask me to convene us all together to talk together and discuss and reflect on the whole idea of rethinking the church. The material that we're going to be looking at is not out of any book. It's not from any other church. This is something that is coming that I am writing and that we are putting together, both Tracy and I, as we think about what it means to be rethinking the church. In the Southern Baptist Convention, there are some voices that are, all voices are important, but there are some voices that God has given leadership to. Perhaps one of the most, if not the most important voice within our convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, is the president of Southern Seminary, one of our flagship seminaries, in my opinion, the finest president of any of the seven Baptist, Southern Baptist seminaries that we have, Dr. Albert Moeller. Just recently, within the last several weeks, Dr. Moeller, and I want to begin our whole semester with this quote. It's a little bit rugged, but it's what he sees as a president of a Southern seminary, seeing students come through, but also looking at the landscape of our denomination. I want you to direct your attention to the screen and notice there's a, it's in, I've got to take that off. Dr. Moeller says this: the Southern Baptist Convention is either going to become younger or dead. Here we have a big issue. We're losing at least two-thirds of our young people somewhere along the line between adolescent and adulthood. A generation that has reduced religion and Christianity to what is called moralistic therapeutic deism, believing that God basically wants them to do well, do right, and to be happy. If we stand by the scriptures, we're going to have to say hard things to a culture around us that will consider us backward, unloving, and intolerant. Southern Baptists still look like white bread Protestantism, middle class America, still concentrated in the South, and still focused on North America. We're going to have to be missional, directed outward, uncranky, visionary, oriented to the future, happy and joyful in claiming and assuming the responsibility that Christ has invested in us and being faithful to that. Now, folks, again, this is, in my opinion, one of the leading, if not leading, voices within our denomination, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Seminary, just a couple of weeks ago. And this is a part of a much longer writing that he wrote as a part of that seminary. And he says some things that really kind of the reason that we're here together today and for this next semester. And that is not just our church and not even just our denomination, but the church across America is facing things they've never faced before, dealing with things they've never dealt with before, and a lot of them need to rethink what it means to be the church. What we are trying to do here at First Baptist Union Park is a little bit unprecedented, the way we're doing it. There is no script for this. We are simply, as a leadership group, seeking to follow the Lord as we believe He is leading. And so, I want to commend our leadership, our Ministry Leadership Council, and I think maybe at this time, I'd like to have the Ministry Leadership Council stand up, if you would. Those that are on the Ministry Leadership Council, I know that you've seen them before, and Tracy's down here. All right. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I made four statements when we presented and voted whether to go to the One Sunday School class, and these are on your program, so you can have your pens poised. These statements will appear throughout the semester because I think they're important, and I wanted them to serve as a reminder as we go through this semester. Statement number one says this: this change is not a quick fix, but an ongoing process, a journey. What we're going to be going through doesn't end in 13 weeks. In fact, I want to say in week one, and I want to repeat it, I hope, every week, and if I don't, please remind me, that what we're going through in these 13 weeks is just a beginning. It's just the beginning. We're not going to come out of the 13 weeks or the night, you know, this little packaged program. All right, this is just the beginning, casting a general vision of rethinking the church. Statement two says the path before us as a church is not a neat, clearly marked path that leads to a nice, neat final destination. That's kind of the path that we like. That's what we want. But the way God leads oftentimes doesn't lend itself to that. In fact, goes on to say, rather, it is an invitation from God to follow His leading. I'm going to just stop right there, and I want us to all realize and remember that what we're going through is an invitation. I want us to see God inviting us to follow Him, to follow His leading, into what now looks like a fog. Therefore, trust and courage are critical. They are critical. They're not critical just for me or for the Ministry Leadership Council. They are critical for every single individual within our church. Now, statement three. How important this is. Mistakes will be made. We will experience failure along the way. The fear of failure is one of the greatest obstacles to individual and church growth or corporate growth. Removing this one obstacle, the refusal to be held captive to supposed failure, will do more than just about anything to help us on our journey. That is so critical, y'all. We as a people, not just our church, but I think people in general, are so afraid of failing. And it holds us captive. And if we could just remove that one obstacle, what an incredible experience it would be. What a freeing experience. And then the final statement says this: you will get an opportunity to say yes or no. At the end of these 13 weeks, Jim, just go ahead and take a couple of the chairs for Mike and Sarah and Jeff. Yeah, and just have them sit, you know, around the table and things like that. That would be great. Just come on up. That'll be great. Just the broader table. At the end of these 13 weeks, we want you to know that what I'm going to be presenting at the MLC's request is, like I said, a general vision. But you as a church, there will be an opportunity, and I want to make sure that we remember that. There will be an opportunity for you to say, yes, we want to go in this direction, this general direction, and all that that means, which we'll be finding out as we go on this next semester, or no. And I don't want anybody to feel coerced. I want people to vote what they feel like God is telling them to vote. So those are four statements that I hope will serve as kind of anchor points throughout this semester. They're very important. I hope that you'll remember them and remind yourself and others of these statements. Some of you may have heard of the name of John Maxwell. He was a pastor for years at Skyline Wesleyan Church in Southern California, now the founder and president of what's called Enjoy Ministries. He is one of the leading gurus, if you will, in the whole area of leadership. And I want you to look at something that John Maxwell said that I think is absolutely spot on. He says this, and this is at the bottom of your sheet. You can fill in those blanks. John Maxwell says, if we are going to go anywhere, we're going to have to risk. Adventuring after risk, adventuring into the unknown. Life is about adventure, not maintenance. I think that is spot on. And you know something? I think that is spot on for our church and what we're looking at. If we're going to go anywhere, we are going to have to risk adventuring into the unknown. You know what the unknown is? It's that fog where God's calling us. I want to say to you right now, as your pastor, that as God is leading and calling us out to do what we're doing this semester, I see a little bit ways down the road. And I want you to know, then it gets kind of foggy for me too. If we're going to go anywhere, we're going to have to risk going out into that fog. Life is about adventure, not maintenance. Hebrews 12 says this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And how the race is marked out, folks, is unknown to us. That's what makes it such an adventure. It's marked out. God knows, but sometimes we don't know. And in this adventure of rethinking the church, we don't know. But it is going to be adventure. So we have your first assignment today. Your first assignment in stepping into the unknown. Your first assignment in adventure. Your first assignment in risk. Okay, everybody ready? This is your first assignment. Do well, church. In the basket, and let me give you the instructions. In the basket are 7 slips of paper with numbers. Either some number between 1 through 12. You will notice that your tables are numbered 1 through 12. So this is the risky assignment. First one, into the unknown. I'm going to have the host pass the basket around in a moment when I say go. And you're to take a slip of paper out. And then when I say go again, I want you to change seats and go to the table of the number that you have in your hand. All right? Because we want to kind of mix it up a little bit. We want to have some youth with the older adults and younger adults with older. We just want things mixed up a little bit. Your first assignment into adventure into the unknown. All right, host, go ahead and pass the basket around and pick out a number. The hosts stay at their table. And if you are more than the 8 people at the table, then Tracy will choose. Where is that? No, it's right there. It's right there. Actually, we have a way for you to choose. Under the desk, Tracy. Under the desk. Is that... If you don't have a... So when you get your number, all right, on your mark, get set, go. Here, Trace. When you get your number... Go to that table where you have your number. If you don't have a number, come see me, because I've got numbers galore. If you weren't able to get a number, come see me. Just grab a number. Come see me if you didn't get a number. And then go to that table. If you need a number, I've got a box. Here, Betty.
And if they don't have a handout,
take that to Betty. Take that to Betty.
And if they don't have a handout, raise their hand.
Thank you, Betty.
If they don't have a handout, raise their hand.
If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. Anybody else need a number? I got a numbers up here. Numbers, numbers, numbers everywhere. I got your number. All righty. Good. Now, here's your second assignment into venturing into the unknown. And also a way to get to know people around your table. At your table, the host will notice that we have some index cards. I want you to pass those index cards around. They're yellow or blue. If you don't have enough cards, then you can write on the... Well, you can't do that.
You have any more index cards?
Write on the back of your numbered little slip of paper. Or here's an index card. If you don't have an index card, we got one here for you. All right, here's the assignment. So I'm going to take you a couple of minutes, so don't make it a long thing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write on the index card something about yourself that probably nobody else at that table knows. All right? And if you're sitting with your wife, good luck. But write something on that index card that somebody at the table probably doesn't know. All right? Go. Do not sign your name. Don't make it long, because I'm not going to give you long. You can talk about where you were born if they don't know, how many brothers or sisters you have. What's your favorite TV show? You can talk about anything. The first time you were arrested and put in jail. I mean, there's anything you can talk about. All right, about 30 seconds. Don't sign your name. When you're through, put all the cards back in the basket. Yeah, fold them in half and put them in the basket. Yeah. All right, now here's what I want you to do. I want the host to pass the basket around, draw out a slip of paper, and then I want you to read. And you're not going to get them all read. We don't have time. But you can start with somebody, and after you get everything passed around, read what you've got, and then it's your job to try to guess who at the table wrote this. All right? So as soon as you get them passed around, somebody at the table, read what they've got. Anybody, doesn't matter. And then it's your job to try to guess who at the table you think wrote it. Go. All right, just another minute or two.
Hey, I think we're doing pretty good with time, if I read it.
All right. All right, now you've discovered something about somebody around your table that you probably didn't know, and you can hold it against them for the rest of the semester. But then you have to forget, and then it's the year of Jubilee. All right, be finishing up the one you're at, and then I'd like you to, just an opportunity for you to get to know one another just a little bit. One of the kind of thoughts that Tracy and I had, it was just great to see some of our teenagers with some of our senior adults and really talking. It's great. I want you to take your program and turn to the inside cover. I want to tell you how we're going to do this morning. Today's lesson is called, it's kind of an introductory lesson. Next week's kind of an introductory lesson as well. It's called The Ministry of Adventure or Maintenance. And so out of the message, I have, do you need, Mike, do you need one? Tracy, we need one. Here's one right here. Okay, good. Out of the very familiar story of passing out of the talents, but one of the strengths of the message is in some of the narratives and parables. The way Peterson phrases it is wonderful. So I'm in interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then at your tables, directed at by your table host, we're going to have you discuss some of the questions that we have there, thinking about Maxwell's quote as a background. That if we're going to go anywhere, we're going to have to risk venturing into the unknown. Life is about adventure, not maintenance. So follow in your program as I read from the Message, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. God's kingdom is also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, to a third $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the one with the single thousand dug a hole and buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, you will be my partner. The servant with $2,000 showed how he also doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, you will be my partner. The servant given $1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowance for error. I was afraid I would disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the thousand and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into the outer darkness. Now, what I want you to do at your tables, we have about some 7 or 8, 9 questions from there and on the back. I want you to spend the next 10 or 15 minutes discussing those questions, either as a table or breaking up at your table with a couple of different individuals, and just walking through some of those questions, just answering those, and then we're going to have a time for some feedback and report from each table. All right? Based upon that text, go. The host, you guide the discussion. Let's come together as a group, and I'd like to, it was really good to look around and see the different tables in earnest discussion about this. Again, you can turn your chairs around so you can see me. It'd be a good idea. So we can have, but I'd like to ask for a report. We don't have to go through each question necessarily, but as we're talking about this ministry of maintenance or adventure and some of the questions that were there on your handout, what were some of the things that came out at your table? It can be the table host. It doesn't have to be the table host. Just stand and say it, and then I'll repeat it with your name because we are taping these, and so that way we get a chance to on the tape to hear what you said. All right, Bert. Okay, Bert Gonzalez said at his table under question one, which characterizes a ministry of adventure or a ministry of maintenance? One's going somewhere, one's not. Wow. Okay, so Bert said at his table, Charles was saying that the one with $1,000 or the 1,000 talents, he had the greatest, least courage, but doesn't necessarily mean that he had the greatest fear. That's very good, very good. All right, thank you, Bert. Others at your table, just stand up. Like I say, you can be the table host, but it doesn't have to be. And just kind of share some of the things that happened or that was said at your table in response to these questions. All right, Yvette. Question number 9.
You are what? Okay. On question number, Yvette Bishop was saying that on question 9 at her table, what is your greatest fear of change at First Baptist Church of Union Park? One was failure, not succeeding. And we remember one of our statements, right? That fear of failure is one of the greatest obstacles for growth. But that is a fear. And secondly, was not following, doing our thing rather than what God wants for our church was a great fear. Okay. Others, just stand up. All right, Bill. Bill Bishop. Okay. All right. Bill Bishop at his table said on the question 7, to whom did the master pass judgment, ministry of maintenance or ministry of venture? Definitely was the one on the ministry of maintenance, the one guy with $1,000 of talent. Okay. All right. On question number 8, Bill's table said, the question, which ministry you see is the prevailing mindset at First Baptist Church of Union Park, adventure and maintenance? They said, well, they feel like today is a ministry of adventure, and they're excited about that. But overall, as they think about our church, their idea or their opinion was that is the mindset is the ministry of maintenance. All right? Other tables. All right. Norm? Question 8, okay? All right, on Norm Greer's table, again, question number 8, prevailing mindset here, ministry of maintenance, ministry of venture. Norm says, as a general rule, it's been the ministry of maintenance, although there have been spurts of adventure, but the general mindset is the ministry of maintenance. All right, other tables. All right, Jeff Dudukovich. Okay. All right, let's stop right there. I want to, okay, Jeff Dudukovich at his table. Again, question 8, venture and maintenance. There's a couple of things. They said the mindset is maintenance, characterized by resistance to change. What else, Jeff? Fear of losing members and a what's in it for me attitude. Okay. Okay, the greatest fear of change, don't sit down at First Baptist Church Union Park, losing members, who determines the change, and what will the church look like after the change? All right, excellent. Excellent. Other table, that's right, Jeff, way to step out on an adventure. All right, Dale Wood, adventuresome Dale Wood. All right, Dale. All right, that sounded really important. I want to make sure I get that. Say that again.
The other two.
Yes. The first two. The first one with the $5,000 and $2,000.
They realize that the master's investing in and with his own possessions is how he operates and how he has acquired so much.
Okay, the one with $5,000 and $2,000 recognizes that the master investing with what is his own
is how he operates and how he has acquired so much. This is just the way he does business. Okay. Question nine, what's your greatest fear of change, all right? Losing what is known, a friendly, comfortable church, corporate worship. Okay. Excellent. All right, Ray Zink. Anybody that lands a shuttle, we know is adventuresome. Go ahead, Ray. Number three. Yes. I want to stop there because I think that's really important. Ray, what Ray is saying is that we see the end result. The 5,000 gets 10, the 2,000 gets 4. And so we see the end result. But what we don't see is the process between one point and the other. And along that process or in that journey, it's very possible that they could have experienced some failure. They could have experienced the loss, but yet they kept going. Which is, in other words, it's not just this nice steady straight line up to from 5 to 10. There's a lot of bumps along the way. I think that's good. Go ahead, Ray. Okay. All right. So all three had fear, positive versus negative. That's good. I think somebody else said, I think it was Norm over there, or I guess it was what Charles said too, is that they all had fear. Two had courage, I guess, too. All right. Someone else, Kelly Dukovich. See if she's as adventurous as her husband. Yeah. All right. Question eight. Okay. Okay. Okay, so there's both mindsets represented, okay? Okay, the greatest fear of change, question nine, Kelly's table said, some frustration at not seeing more fruit of what is being done. Okay. All right, time for one more. Is anybody else that's just burning to stand up and report? All right, Linda, last one. Question four and five, okay. Yes. Okay, agreed. All were fearful. In the face of fear to continue to go. Okay, good. Because the difference is two were willing to go forward. One was paralyzed by fear. Okay. That's very good. In a book I read not long ago, they said that very same thing, that courage assumes fear. If there's no fear, there's no need for courage. So we think about that even as a church, even collectively, as we think about going forward into the fog, fear is present. If we insist on no fear, then we bury the talent. And we see what Jesus' opinion of the whole idea of burying the talents. Last month at Willow Creek Church in outside of Chicago, Illinois, there was a conference, and the main speaker has been voted by the Wall Street Journal as the number one business consultant in America, who also happens to be a Christian. I mean, the Wall Street Journal didn't say that. He happens to be a Christian. His name is Gary Hamel. And to a group of church leaders, he had a long thing that he said. I mean, he was a speaker there. But I just took out one little excerpt, and I want to just throw that up on the screen. This is what Gary Hamel said to a group of church leaders. Number one business consultant in America by Wall Street Journal. Organizations lose their relevance when the rate of internal change lags the pace of external change. And that is the problem that besets many churches today. The problem isn't unique. Now watch this. And it isn't materialism, atheism, skepticism, or relativism. It is institutional inertia. Not going forward. Not going out into that fog. Not taking the risk. Institutional inertia. So I thought that was something that I wanted to end with today. A couple of things, housekeeping things. The CDs for today will be available next week. I'm sorry? Okay, after church, the back of the chapel, the CDs for today is available for the Sunday school teachers and children. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Diane. I want to thank her ministry and the sound ministry. They've done a lot of work for this whole thing, whole semester, as well as a lot of people have, just a lot of people. Second thing is I want to make sure that you remember that tonight we invite you back to continue the discussion throughout the semester. We've reserved Sunday nights to continue the discussion. We meet in the chapel again, and for discussion and prayer, we just encourage you to come. I want to just give everyone here that's here, if I was handing out papers and I was a teacher, Kelly, I'd put a smiley face on each one of your papers and an A+. I'm just so encouraged. You guys stepped out and risked today a little bit, and you did it with great attitudes and a lot of neat things that happened. That I just real excited about that. Don't forget the sign-up sheet to bring the goodies to eat is over on the table. We encourage you to sign up and to be a part of that. Let's bow our heads. And the attendance sheets, you want to just leave them at the table? Carolyn, how do you want them to do it? Okay, if you just leave them at the table, Carolyn will pick them up. She'll be compiling the list. Linda Mendenhall. Okay, a one-burner hot plate for hot tea. Oh, bring some exotic teas. All right, Diane. Adventure, yeah. All righty. Let me close in prayer, and then our service is over in the chapel. Lord Jesus, thank you for the call upon the lives of your people to not be just play it safe, maintenance. Lord, we all, as individuals and as a church, are one day going to have this same experience that these three in this text did. And Lord, I just pray for your hand to be upon us as we continue to think or rethink the church. Lord, I'm so grateful for each one here, for the great spirit that was today. We just commit, Lord, ourselves and the service now to follow to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll be over in the chapel.